Good morning. This is KBBI AM 890 Homer, and welcome to the coffee table. I'm Terry Renschel hosting this morning, and with me in the studio for our yearly holiday book show, Homer author Dana Stabenow. Good morning.
Well, I'm just saying hi, Carrie. That's pretty good.
Yes, we've got Kathleen Gustafson here on the board for us this morning. She chose that music. Thank you very much, Kathleen. So, Dana, the yearly book show, one of my favorite programs of the year.
Mine too.
When we get to spend the hour talking about what we've been reading, and also what you, our listeners, have been reading, and also taking your questions, offering Dana, offering recommendations as to what you may get your friends and family as books for the holidays.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Terry's sitting over there with two pages full of books. I feel like a piker by comparison.
That's just the list of stuff I've read this year. your mileage may vary. So, Dana, it's been a while since we've seen each other. What have you been up to?
Well, mostly what I'd like to talk about is Story Knife, which is a writer's retreat for women that I'm currently going after funding for, that's going to be built on a piece of view property, 4 acres of view property. There will be 6 cabins and a main house, and women writers will be in the cabin all day writing, and then in the evenings they'll come together in the main house to have dinner and talk shop. And right now we have a twofer, well, actually it's a threefer, I guess, special going on. We have two wonderful funders, Peggy Schumacher and Joe Usabelli, who are matching donations for the main house, two for one. So if you donate $1, they will match it with $2, so it's actually $3. So of the $250,000 cost of the main house, we only have to raise $82,500, which I know only sounds ridiculous in any context but that. So we've got that going on. And we also have some other news that's about to come out that I can't say yet because I don't have permission to name the people involved. When I do, there'll be a press release.
Okay, and people can find out more.
Storyknife.org.
And, of course, your website for
Stabenow.com. And also, when we get done with the show here, I will go home and I will put up all the books that we spoke about on the air on Stabenow.com. So in case we all talk too fast or you can't find a pencil, you can go and see them there.
And also, the entire program will be up on our website, KBBI.org, later today. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right in. What have you been reading?
Well, believe it or not, just about 3 weeks ago, I read one of the best books I've read this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
knowing how much you read, that's high praise.
Well, it's Death Sentence by Damien Boyd. And it's the sixth in his D.I. Nick Dixon series. It's set in the present day in Western England. A Falklands War veteran is murdered, and the constabulary has to figure out who done it as the bodies begin to pile up all over Devon. This is police procedural writing at its very best. The only book I can even come close to comparing it to is Ice by Ed McBain. So if you like police procedurals, this is the book for you. It's the painstaking pursuit of all the details that go into the solving of the crime. And Boyd is one of the few authors I've ever read that gives you a feeling for the constant frustration that must be present in the investigation of any kind of a murder case.
One of my favorite books from this year that I've read, Douglas Brinkley, The Quiet World, Saving Alaska's Wilderness Kingdom, 1879 to 1960, was kind of his second book about the national parks and everything. He wrote Wilderness Warrior about Teddy Roosevelt and the creation of the national park system. And then he followed that up with this book, looking at it specifically in Alaska and especially the early years, and a real interesting history of not only the parks, but also look at, you know, Alaska history pre-statehood. And how it was really looked at as just kind of this, you know, big, vast, you know, resource to be exploited. Mm-hmm. And the struggle between that and conservation. And that, absolutely fantastic. Let's give out the phone numbers, invite you to call in and talk to us about your favorite books, or ask Dana for recommendations for gifts for your friends and family. Our numbers here are 235-7721 and outside of the immediate Homer area, 1-800-979-5224. That's 235-7721 or 1-800-979-5224.
One book that I really wanted to hit hard because it's one of the more delightful books I've seen recently. It is, I guess, a children's book. It's written in that fashion anyway. It's got photo. It's some writer, exclamation point, by Melissa Sweet, which is a children's version of the life of E.B. White, who's the guy, of course, who wrote Charlotte's Web. And it's somehow, I don't know, sweet that the writer of one of the greatest children's books ever himself becomes the subject of a children's book. This one is illustrated with photos of White, his own illustrations, and mixed media by the author. It's delightful to look at, it's delightful to read, and I have a feeling it'll be one of those books that'll be in your home forever and you'll read it to your kids over and over again. Although, you might just read it to yourself over and over again.
If I can ask, you and I have talked about this previously off the air, but we wanted you to share your thoughts with the listeners today because e-books and e-readers are huge.
Yeah.
You know, e-readers, traditional books, what are your thoughts as an author and as a reader?
Well, I make most of my money from e-books now. So,
wow.
I mean, there's that. But I have to say, that's the writer in me talking. That's not to say that I never want to publish a hardcover book again or a trade paperback book again. But the e-readers, they're so easy. You know, Amazon has pretty much inculcated everyone to the easy download. So, and it's just you can get the Kindle app on anything. You can get the iBooks app on anything. And they're always running specials, always, so that you can get some book that you really want for 99 cents and sometimes nothing. So there's that. But I have to say, as a reader, I read both in e and traditional books, and I have discovered that it's uncomfortable for me to read. It's not a satisfying experience for me to read nonfiction in e, because I always write with nonfiction. I always write marginalia. I always dog ear. I always highlight, and you can't do that in an e-book. At least not yet. You can't, or at least I can't.
I mean, I also read both, traditional, printed books and e-books. I really love the touch and the feel of a traditional book. E-books are great for me personally when I travel.
Great for everybody when you travel. Do you remember the days of when you'd be on a long plane ride and your whole carry-on would be filled with like half a dozen books because 12 hours on a plane, Jeez, yeah.
Yeah. But there's something about, the physical book. Whether it's a paperback or a hardcover, that it's...
Especially if it's well-produced.
Yeah, the quality of the paper, the cover, it's just, it's an overall experience for me for touch, for sight, for reading, for the visual.
One example I don't know if you've seen it yet. You'll know when I say. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I am obsessed by Hamilton the musical. I listened to the soundtrack I don't know how many times, and I just recently came across a copy of Hamilton the Revolution, which is this beautiful hardcover book. It's an odd size, and it's decal-edged. The paper are all decal-edged, and it's lavishly illustrated with photos from the Broadway play, and it's the libretto. It's all the lyrics to all the songs with marginalia by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote it. And there's no way you could have that experience in an ebook. There's just no way. I mean, I get it off the side table when I'm going to have a night of Hamilton listening and, start the music and go and page through the Hamilton the Revolution book. And there's just, like I say, there's just no way you could have that experience with an ebook.
And the way he came about deciding to do
Ron Chernow's
the music.
Hamilton.
Yeah, I saw the program on public television that
me
he
too.
Did.
Me too. Yeah.
And he talked about, I'm going on vacation. I wanted a book to read, and that's the book he chose.
A
to
little
read
light
on his
summer
vacation.
Reading. Yeah. What is it, like 750 pages long?
Yeah. I mean, as someone who reads a lot of nonfiction, mostly nonfiction and history, it's like, wow, that's what you chose for your summer vacation.
His beach read.
And yeah, that's how he came
it's
up
on
with
my to read
idea.
Shelf. I I wish I could say that I'd already read it, but it's on my to read shelf.
Yours and mine both.
Yeah.
So going right back to you, what else?
Well, I've been reading this, I've been actually binge reading this series by Shannon McGuire. It's called, it's urban fantasy. It's called, the hero is October Day, and it's San Francisco in the modern day, but coexisting side by next, but unseen, is the world of the fae or the fairy. And Toby is a hero of the realm, and as such, he's in trouble with everyone on both sides pretty much all the time. Most recently, in Once Broken Faith, which I think is the 10th novel in the series, Faye has discovered a cure for elf shot, which is a whole different story that was in the previous book that I'm not going to go into now. You just have to read the book. Anyway, there's a conclave on whether or not to legalize elf shot, and of course, someone is immediately murdered, which puts Toby back in the hot seat. And these are really fun books. She's engaged to the King of the Cats, and as her squire, she has a young man whose secret identity is the heir to all of Fadum. And I mean, it's just there's a whole bunch of fun in these books.
Finally, a good book on the list.
Anyway, the October Day series by Shannon McGuire. I really recommend them. They're just a fun read.
I'm gonna share a couple of books that our old friend Shady Grove Oliver recommended to me before she left us last year. I'm still in touch with Shady, and she misses Homer and everybody here very much. But and she reads a lot. But I asked her for some recommendations of a few things possibly outside of my comfort zone, and she gave me a small list on a couple of authors I want to mention. Both Japanese authors, Banana Yoshimoto. And the books from her that I read were Kitchen, which is a short novel, probably 150 pages or so, maybe even not that much, and also has a short novella on the back end of it. And the other book from her was this book titled Asleep, and the plot of that book is a woman starts a relationship with a married man whose wife is in a coma, and the woman starts having dreams where she's interacting with the wife in the coma.
Is this the same author?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, same author.
Okay.
So that and so Sleep's about the mistress basically, you know, interacting in her dreams with the wife who's in a coma. And
well, there's nothing complicated about that.
No, and Kitchen is a story about a young woman who lives with her grandmother, I believe, who passes away, and so much of life revolved around the kitchen. And this woman then goes to live with a young friend of her grandmother's who is a delivery person for a florist, and that person's father, who is transgender, and a lot of the story is based around kitchen and food and everything, and the young woman goes off and becomes an assistant to a famous chef in Japan and travels a lot, and it's, you know, the whole story is based around, you know, spending time in the kitchen, spending time around food.
Were these books originally published in Japan? They're translated
yes.
into English. Okay, cool.
Yes. And the other one that I got from Shady was a book titled Never Let Me Go. And Kathleen just kind of, you know,
Bye.
Flinched. And of course, I'm horrible with these Japanese names. Kazuo, K-A-Z-U-O. Ishiguro, Ishiguro. And it's, Kathleen, go ahead and, because you've read it and you visibly flinched when I mentioned it.
Well, I would never give away. You have to read this book.
Yes.
But I highly recommend it. It's fantasy, but anyone can relate to it. And I especially want to recommend it to young people feeling misunderstood and misused in our culture.
Fantastic.
That is who I want to recommend this book to, because you will find ways to identify. And I really think, for me, that's why I read. I read to gain understanding, but a lot of times what I'm reading for is to identify with things I wouldn't understand otherwise.
Yeah, and those were a couple of recommendations that Shady Grove Oliver gave me probably about a year ago or so. And yeah, I didn't get around to them until this spring. But yeah, especially Never Let Me Go. Yeah, a very powerful story.
Okay. Putting an asterisk next to that title.
Yeah. Once again, we'd love to hear from you this morning. Call in, share with us what you've been reading or would like to read, or you can ask Dana for book recommendations. 235-7721 here in Homer, and outside of the immediate Homer area, 1-800-979-5224. That's 235-7721, 1-800-979-5224. Kathleen, since we're talking to you, is there anything else book-wise you'd like to share?
Well, mostly what I've been reading lately is employee and operations manuals for other public radio stations, because my goal is to update our procedure manuals and so I've been reading a lot of that, and I recommend just the public radio operations manuals all over this great country. But you know, I finished I don't think I've read anything this year that was released this year. I am shamed. But Kafka on the Shore. Is that on anybody's list?
Kafka on the Shore.
I read that several years ago.
And yeah, it's an old one. And then I finally put together Chris Ware's Building Stories, which is a huge box of book in pieces that a person has to assemble out of the book, and it becomes a graphic novel.
Where? W-A-R-E?
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like fun.
But really, right now, it's a lot of... Oh, also, I've been reading Big Read, Bridge of the San Luis Rey, and Our Town again, although I could probably recite whole passages of Our Town. But that doesn't take away any of its power. So I'm getting ready for the Big Read coming up in the new year by reading Thornton Wilder. And I'm going to be reading Thornton Wilder's letters between Thornton Wilder and Gertrude Stein. James Anderson and I are. You know,
okay.
It's odd praise when someone picks you to be Gertrude Stein, because in one way I'm highly flattered because she's brilliant, and the other way it means I look like Gertrude Stein.
No, I don't think that's what it means.
But I've also been reading Thornton Wilder and Gertrude Stein's letters in the 30s and 40s.
Okay.
And speaking of the Big Read later this winter, we will have a program here on KBBI about the Big Read and those books, and that's going to be a conversation that is going to be facilitated by you, Dana.
And somebody else.
Aaron Hallowell.
Yeah. Jeez, don't leave me here all alone.
So... we would never do that, even though you've proven you really don't need a host when you do this show. But that will be coming up later this winter as part of the Big Read. We're looking forward to that here at KBBI. What's next on your list, Dana?
Well, okay. Here's something, I can't recommend this as an easy read, all right? And if you ever want to trust your government again, don't read this book. If you ever want to trust a financial institution again, don't read this book, I'm telling you, because I read it and I just was flattened by it. It's called Chain of Title by David Dayan. We're all aware of the big crash in 2008. I, in my innocence, thought it had more to do with people getting mortgages who shouldn't have. But it had every bit as much to do with how those mortgages were foreclosed on, most of them fraudulently. Something like 6 million people lost their homes in fraudulent foreclosures. And the administration wouldn't say how many there were, so we don't have any accurate right numbers on it. That $6 million is just an estimate because they didn't want people to know how bad it was. It's seen through the eyes of three of the people who were illegally foreclosed on, and they go on to become activists in the cause of fighting it. And it is just a wrenching read, but it is also fascinating. I mean, if you want to see how the sausage is made, here you go. It's called Chain of Title by David Dayan. And you know what, Terry?
Yeah.
We are 22 minutes into the program, and you have yet to mention the name Churchill.
Well,
what's up with that?
Time for a break.
Actually, Zena, I was going to get to that a little later, but since
I've thrown down the gauntlet.
Since you prompted me, let's see. One, two, three, four. Five. I've read five books about Churchill this past year.
He said joyously. What's your favorite of the five?
My favorite of the five. You know what? I have to say Lynn Olson's Troublesome Young Men. It's about subtitled The Rebels Who Brought Churchill to Power and Helped Save England. And it's the story of Churchill and the for lack of a better phrase, Tory rebels, who in the late 30s, when spoke up against Chamberlain and the policy of appeasement, and they, what was interesting was that, there were actually two small groups who were separate and did not intermingle with each other, who both had the, who were anti-appeasers, who, not necessarily wanted to bring the Chamberlain government down originally, just wanted him to change his policy and stop the policy of appeasement towards Hitler. And there was, one person who kind of went back and forth between the two groups. At none of this time was, Churchill trying to get power for himself. He was the leading anti-appeaser in Parliament at that time, and it's just a lot of the behind the scenes of how that all happened and how these people came to be anti-appeasers, and the way the Chamberlain government, the party whips, tried to keep them down and actually actively recruited candidates to run against them in their elections, in their constituencies back home, and then how it all happened, and he came to power, and strangely enough, not very many of these men joined the government under Churchill. He definitely the phrase was that the author uses is he was kind of resentful because, Churchill was a child of the commons. And, this wasn't supposed to be the way the commons works, but it's the way it had to work to change British policy and, you could argue, to save, to save Great Britain and to, defeat Hitler. And Olson writes a lot about that area. Her first book was titled The Murrow Boys, about Edward R. Murrow and the group that he put together of reporters.
You talked about that, I think.
Yeah, several years ago. And I've got another book by her on my to-read shelf. I'm drawing a blank on... Citizens of London, I think, is the title. And it's about Murrow, Averill Harriman, and I'm drawing a blank on the man who became ambassador to England after Joe Kennedy, and how they were truly friends to England and helped change American opinion. We have a caller on line one, and it is Shady.
Oh, cool.
Good morning, Shady.
Good morning.
Hi,
I heard you guys talking about books, so I figured I should probably call you.
Yes, great. I name-dropped you about 10, 15 minutes ago, too.
So, I heard that. I heard that. And those are really good books. Highly recommended.
What else are you reading?
So I have three books here, and they're all very, very different. So I hope that, some of you will have read some of them and some of you won't. The first one is called Garlic and Sapphires, and it's by Ruth Reichel, and that's R-U-T-H is her first name, and her last name is R-E-I-C-H-L. And she was a critic, a food critic for the New York Times for quite a while. And she found that people in the restaurant business would memorize what she looked like. So what she started to do was she got all into buying elaborate wigs and costumes and taking on these other personas so she could learn what it would be like to dine in different fancy restaurants around New York City, dressed as, like, you know, an old woman or dressed as a woman with 10 kids, and she would borrow her friend's kids and take them out to eat. And so her idea was that if she went as a critic in disguise, she would learn how your everyday person was treated by fancy establishments. And it's just a really fun book.
Well, that's definitely going on the to-read list. What else?
So the next one is, it's an older book that I've just gotten around to reading, and it is Galileo's Daughter by Dava Sobel, and that's D-A-V-A-S-O-B-E-L. And it's this really interesting historical nonfiction about Galileo and his work with astronomy, but it's all kind of framed through these letters that were written from him to his daughter and back again. And so she's gone through these letters, and she uses them to frame the different portions of Galileo's life. But it's just, she's a beautiful writer, and it's a wonderful piece of historical writing, I would say, for people who don't always like historical writing. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful book.
Her book, Longitude, is also outstanding. It's hard science, and it's great storytelling.
Ooh, I will check that out. I've never read that one.
It's about drawing the lines on the map for the first time.
Very cool. Yeah, she's a beautiful writer, and she communicates these big topics and big ideas just so beautifully.
And you said you had a third book?
Yes. The last one is a series that I just finished, and it's the Anna Pigeon, like the bird, mystery series by Nevada Barr, N-E-V-A-D-A-B-A-R-R. And all of her books follow this crime-solving National Parks employee. And so Anna Pigeon, she works for the National Park Service as a ranger, and each book is set in a different national park. So I would say some of the books are better than other ones, but I have learned so much about different parts of this country through following her on her different assignments. And so it's a series of, there's a ton of mystery books. They're sort of like true crime slash mystery, but they're really interesting, and I think she really captures the national park landscapes really well.
If you ever get a chance to hear Nevada Barr speak in public, you should definitely do that, because she's just a whole bunch of fun to hear talk.
Very cool. Well, thank you. I will try if I ever get the chance. And so, yeah, those are the books right now, mystery and then two nonfiction. But, yeah, I've really been enjoying the show.
Oh, thanks, Shady.
Great to hear from you, Shady.
All right.
Where is she?
She is down in Southern California.
Oh,
is where she's living, but she... She's working for the Arctic Sounder these days, writing for the Arctic Sounder. So she does spend a lot of time in state traveling around the Arctic. It's always great to hear from Shady, and look forward to talking to her and seeing her sometime
books.
Soon. Yeah, and reading her books. 235-7721 here in Homer, 1-800-979-5224. If I can switch gears slightly, Dana, you and I talked about this, you know, prior to coming on air this morning, and we both participated in it last year and this year, the Homer Public Library's 15-4-16.
Yeah.
We've both read books off of that list.
Last year and then this year.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they're going to do, you know, 15 and 17 next year.
Same here.
I'm assuming that they solicit suggestions from members of the community, from library patrons, but then the librarians also, and teachers as well. And so these are books that, this is why you join a book club. It's kind of a book club kind of a thing, because you're reading books that you didn't pick out for yourself. So you're going to read some really off-the-wall, different kind of stuff. So, and they're not asking you to read all 100 of them from the list. They're just asking you to read 15 of them.
Even though I know last year with the 15 for 15, there was at least one person who read everything on the list.
I know. I'm tired just thinking about it.
Is there anything from this year's list that really jumps out to you?
Well, the one that really jumps out to me is Euphoria by Lily. I can't remember her last name. Kathleen's looking it up really quick, I think, on the internet. It's a novel, and it's, a fictionalization of Margaret Mead's life as imagined by this author.
Lily King.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Lily King, Euphoria by Lily King. It's a novel, not nonfiction, sorry. And the it's set in New Guinea or parts nearby in like 1925 or 1928. And it's a very problematic relationship between this woman and her husband and the third guy in this sort of trilogy. And I won't call it a menage a trois. And their relationship is reflected by the tribe that they are studying. And it is a story for people to read who don't understand the abusive relationships that some people get into. And that's all I'll say.
We're going to go to a break here in just a moment. But before then, a couple of things from the 15 and 16 that I've read this year. Susan Cain, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. That was a new book out last year, and that was really, really interesting. And definitely recommend picking that up if you want to know how someone who's an introvert, in many ways I am, believe it or not, but how we learn to function in a world of extroverts. And another great read, and it's one that I know you recommended several years ago, and I finally got around to reading it, and it was on the list. Doris Kearns Goodwin, Team of Rivals.
Oh, God, that's such a good book.
You know what? I regret waiting so long to actually read it.
It's about, for those of you out there in Radioland, it is about Lincoln and about the men that he hired to work for him in his cabinet. And they all hated him and they all wanted to destroy him, basically. And one of them actually ran and his election campaign out of the Department of the Treasury, and he cajoled them and sweet-talked them and, you know, carrot-and-sticked them until they, you know, put their best foot forward for the country and fought and won the Civil War. It's just an extraordinary book.
And pretty much every one of them thought that they should have been president instead.
Absolutely.
And would have been a better president.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break here. It's 25 minutes before 10 o'clock. 235-7721, 1-800-979-5224 are the numbers to call to join the conversation this morning with Dana Stabenow about books. This is The Coffee Table on KBBI AM 890 Homer. We'll be right back. This is The Coffee Table here on KBBI, AM 890 Homer. My name's Terry Runcel, hosting this morning, and we're doing our yearly book show with Dana Stabenow, talking about the books we've read this year, talking about the books you've read this year. And if you call in and ask Dana, she'll be more than happy to give you a recommendation of a book to buy for a family member or friend.
Let me tell you a story. My friend John called, and he said he was going to be out of the country at Christmas. So he decided what he was going to do is pre-order books for all of the people he wanted to buy gifts for. And he had something like 27 names. And we were on the phone for about an hour, and he told me their name and a little bit about what they were, the kind of person that they were. And I would pull a book title out of the air. It was one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. And guess what? The only time in that group that he did not take my recommendation is the only one that person didn't like. So so I can do that. If you want to buy a book for somebody this Christmas, you give me a call right here at 235-7721.
So Dana, I'll get that kicked off. More about, you know, buying a book for myself, because, you know, the stack of 12 books I have on the table to read isn't enough.
No, it's never enough. No.
And that, and we've been doing this show for enough years now, and you know, on there, I'm not shy about it. But I'm also interested in moving out of my, you know, comfort zone and trying, you know, fiction and you know authors who English might be, you know, not their first language and everything. So
what kind of movies do you like to see? Do you like Star Wars, Star Trek, science fiction at all?
Yeah, I'm not huge with the science fiction, but yeah, I don't miss a Star Trek movie if it comes out.
Gonna go see Rogue One.
You know what? I'm not sure because I didn't see the last Star Wars.
The last trilogy?
Well, the last one that came out.
Yes, yeah.
What was that, a year ago, year and a half ago? I found myself kind of sucked into the Marvel movies.
So you do like science fiction then?
Yeah. The Avengers, Iron Man.
Have you read
Doctor
much?
Strange, I thought was a great movie.
Benedict Cumberbatch in a cloak. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. If you want to get out of your comfort zone, so I would recommend a science fiction novel to you that I actually have on my list here.
Okay.
And you don't have to go back and read the original four. You don't have to read the first four in the series. You really don't. I mean, you're probably going to want to after you read it, but this is unquestionably the best book in the five. And it's called it's the fifth in James S.A. Corey's Expanse books. And it's the best so far. The ship that this crew has been traveling around in, it's in dry dock undergoing repairs because they just had a horrible mission out to the new planets, and the ship is just totally broken up. So the crew splits up in between the Belt, Mars, Earth, and Tycho, eventually coalesce on Luna, or the moon. And it's just a roller coaster of a plot ride. It's funny, it's smart, it's heartbreaking. And it's just, I mean, there was one time, one line, where I let out a hoop that Corey should have been able to hear from Albuquerque because it was so perfect and so right. I love a really well-plotted book, and I don't read that many of them. And the book that I compare this to is a crime fiction novel called The Death and Life of Bobby Z by Don Winslow. It is that well-plotted. It is, and of course, everybody winds up together on Tycho, and everything is resolved, and, you know, it's going to be off to the next adventure. But it's on five. They, as I understand it, are doing a television series based on these books. And I don't know where they are in the television series on these books, but this book just came out, I think, this year, and it's superb. It's one that stays on my shelf, and I don't have a lot of room on my shelf for books, you know, given the amount of books I have, so when I make room for a book, it's pretty good.
And who's that author again?
James S.A. Corey. It's actually two guys, and they live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that's pretty much all I know about them.
Okay. Speaking of sci-fi and series, there is a book in a sci-fi series on my list, Stephen Baxter and Terry Pratchett, The Long War.
Terry Pratchett, yeah.
It's the second in a series of five. where they find across space-time dimensions, and you can jump back and forth between them. And some people can do it naturally, and the main character is one of those, but there's most people mm-hmm. where they can jump back and forth between alternate Earths. And the first book in the series is called The Long Earth. This one's The Long War. The other ones are The Long Utopia, The Long Mars, and I can't remember the name of the fifth one, but this is the second one in that series, and they're just great reads.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge science fiction person.
It's good that you're stepping out of your comfort zone,
but yeah, that was something a group of friends on Facebook, we kind of all threw it out there in our group, what are some recommendations? Multiple people in that group threw this series at me.
So that other book in that series is called The Long Cosmos.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Terry Pratchett died this year, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they...
And we should all honor him by reading The We Free Folk aloud.
Yeah, and they just apparently finished that series right before he passed away.
And I've heard people talk a lot about the book that he co-authored with Neil Gaiman, wasn't it?
Yes.
What is that?
Good Omens?
Good Omens, that's it.
Yes, which I've read that. Fantastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that is probably what eventually led me to these, but Good Omens, also a fun read.
Mm-hmm.
And these were a fun read. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you for a nonfiction or a history recommendation also.
Oh, well, I gave one for a Chain of Title. But, my book club just read All the Single Ladies by Rebecca Traister. This is a really dense read. This is a book where you get half a page at the end and you think, wait, what? And you go back and you check something that she'd written before to make sure that it agrees with what she's writing now. I don't know the last time I dog-eared or highlighted a book quite this much. It's the story of single women in America and what they've contributed to the society and to the nation. And it's a lot more than you might think. This was pretty interesting. I picked it. It was my book club, and I'm a single woman, so I saw the title and thought, okay, I'll read that. There was way more about women's history in it than I had imagined. And I thought that was really interesting, too. Well, people who read women's studies, they'll recognize a lot of the stuff in it, but there's a lot new as well. And it's told very much from a personal perspective, and she interviews a lot of people. So you're getting, real-time, present-day women living the life, talking about the life they're living. And she backs it up with statistics and studies, and it's just, I think it's a really good book. This is a recommendation. All the women in my book club with daughters are going to force their daughters to read it.
235-7721-1-800-979-5224. If you want to join the conversation, share with us what you've been reading, what you'd like to read, or ask Dana for a recommendation for a gift for yourself or someone else in your life. We have about 15 minutes to go here in the program today. Moving on to a lot of what I've read are not new books, one of the books that did come out this year that I did read that was fantastic. I love everything that he writes. David McCullough's book, The Wright Brothers.
Yeah.
About them starting off and, trying to, be the first to flight.
Bicycle chains. That's what always gets me.
And, the brothers were very different, and they had a sister who was a very powerful influence on them and their success, and going from Ohio to the Outer Banks to do their testing, and then going to Europe and showing what they've done, and they got a contract with the French to build planes for the French, and going over there and building planes and doing the testing, and it wasn't quite so easy as, thought it, would necessarily be once they got over to France for that project. And and of course, as part of it, there were stories about, you know, their competitors being the first, you know, to flight also, not only in America, but also in Europe. And, you know, how they also had some legal issues because, you know, some of their competitors tried to claim that, oh, no, I was first and they stole their ideas from me, even though there was, you know, no, you know, proof of that.
Mm-hmm. They're still fighting about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, just like Edison and Tesla.
I went through the Panama Canal this year. I found the smallest little boat that I could get on to go through because I wanted to see everything up close and personal. I wanted to be on shore and look at it. And I'm always interested in big construction projects that, you know, that are built for the betterment of mankind. So I read David McCullough's book on the Panama Canal. Say there are 10 chapters in the book. About 8.5 of them are about all the political shenanigans, first in France and then in the United States, that had to be gone through before they could go forward with the canal. And only a chapter and a half at the end on the actual building of the canal. And I have to say, that was a little frustrating. But when you're on a boat and the bow of your boat is snugged right up to the doors that they built 110, 115 years ago with the same rivets they put in those doors because they hadn't figured out how they could weld for the long term the original rivets in. And it's one of the most, it's really... The last chapter and a half of that book I totally recommend. Also, I didn't know this, but the electric motors that they built for the operations of the gates at the canal was the first big project that General Electric ever did. How about that?
Wow.
That's hard to find out if you read a David McCullough book.
Yes. And the great thing about the Wright brothers, It to me, it reads like fiction. I mean, it just flows. It's so easy and so quick, and it's hard to put down. And next thing you know, you're halfway through the book. Mm-hmm. I first experienced that with him on Truman when he wrote that, which was, you know.
Mm-hmm. His books are like that, except the Wright Brothers is not too bad.
Yeah, maybe three times the size of the Wright Brothers.
I mean, you really have to settle in if you're going to sit down and read McCulloch. Well, I mean, no, but what about Ron Chernow's Hamilton? We don't even know how many pages that is. It's sitting on my to-read shelf. I'm a little afraid of it, to tell you the truth, because I'm pretty sure once I disappear between the pages of that book, there's going to be no surfacing for months.
And make sure you have a long weekend and a lot of blankets and cocoa and...
Yeah.
Everything to go with that. About 10 minutes left in the show. 235-7721, 1-800-979-5224. What else have you been reading, Dana?
Well, I wanted to recommend a book about Alaska, which, again, is a book club book of mine. Our book club member, Val, who's a fifth grade teacher, attended a talk that Chris Farmer gave about his book, Turn Again. And I was really impressed by this book. First of all, just let me say, it's extremely well written. It's a heartbreaker of a story about an Alaska Native man at the beginning of the gold rush who becomes a bear now and then. How about that?
Interesting.
And but it is also a real-time look at the way life might and probably was then at that time, and the encroachment of the, you know, the Russians are going away and the Americans are coming in and they were all looking for gold and all the traditional areas were being overrun, and it's told from no, you know what, I'm not going to tell you that because that'll give it away. You'll know when you read the first page. Anyway, I really have to recommend this book. I found it fascinating. And it's set in the Kenai Peninsula, which is also cool. Because, I mean, he has a real gift for scenery as well. And you can think, you're reading along and you're thinking, yeah, I saw it just like that. I've seen it just like that. So, Turn Again by Chris Farmer.
Keeping with the Alaska theme, this summer I read William Hensley's autobiography.
Oh, on my to-read shelf.
50 Miles from Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic read, gives you some good insight into life, you know, in the Native world, pre-statehood, early statehood, and also about, you know, he went off to boarding school out of state and college and was involved in the Native Claims Act. And everything. Great piece of early Alaskan history from someone who helped make a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So It, you know, I don't know where that is on your list, but
he was an attorney in the Native Claims Settlement Act, too,
yes.
Wasn't he? Yeah,
yes.
He and the Village of Potomac,
and then served in the in the state legislature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's the president of NANA now, or was?
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if still is or not, but. Yeah. But that was
That's another guy that you can go hear him talk. He's a terrific speaker if you ever get to hear a chance to hear him talk. I mean, this is a guy who had a front row seat. Well, I mean, not a front row seat. He was on the stage, you know, of Alaska history during that time. And he just tells a whole bunch of wonderful stories.
Yeah. Yes. I hope to actually get to see him in person someday. As we're running out of time, there are... two authors I really want to mention, and then we'll turn the last few minutes of the show over to you, Dana.
Oh, you're going to be sorry.
Eric Larson, Dead Wake, The Last Crossing of the Lusitania. He's written Devil in the White City and In the Garden of Beasts.
I need to read this guy.
Yeah.
Because I haven't yet, and I keep, you're not the only person who said, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. They're it's kind of like dual histories because he's writing about that topic and then he'll write about someone else part of that. And the other one, really quick, because she's got a new book out, Hero of the Empire, which is brand new, about Churchill and the Boer War. But the one I read was Candace Millard's Destiny of the Republic, which is a biography of a history and biography of the assassination of, was it Garfield? 1880.
Who's the author?
Candace Millard.
Candace Millard, sorry.
And okay. She wrote River of Doubt.
Okay.
About Teddy Roosevelt's trip through the Amazon in 1913. This is a book about, and I'm horrible. I'm a guy with a history degree, and I can't remember, you know, exactly for sure if it was Garfield or not who was elected in 1880. And then assassinated in 1881. And this was a book about that. There's Kathleen going to the Google. Thank you. it's about him and his short-lived presidency and his election and his assassin.
Mm-hmm. He was only...
assassinated in 1881.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I was right. That's it for my list. I mean, lots of more books on the list, but Dana, minutes left.
Let me tell you about a book that is actually in print and a book that won't be in print until next month.
Okay.
Just to get you all jazzed up. I heard on Pop Culture Happy Hour a woman named Sarah Wendell speaking, and she is the host of Smart Bitches Trashy Books, which is a website dedicated to reading romance novels. And so I thought she was so smart and so funny, I thought, I'm going to read some of her recommendations. So I have. And I have to say that I've read just one of the perfect romance novels I've ever read before in my life. It's called Kristen Higgins' Anything for You. It's the fifth and by far and away the best in the Blue Heron series. It's a so-called closed-door romance, which means no on-screen sex, so if anybody's uncomfortable, you know, you don't have to be. It begins with one proposal and ends with another in small-town upstate New York in an area where everybody is pretty much, you know, working at the winery, the local winery. And it's one of the most real depictions of how difficult raising an FAE child I have ever read. It is, I mean, this is a real book about real people. Yeah, it's a romance novel, but boy, it is really good. I heartily recommend it. And then, I'm reading right now an advanced reading copy of The Lost City of the Monkey God by Douglas Preston, the first chapter of which is all of the things that horrible that can go happen to him looking for this lost city in South America, including snakes that spit venom 6 feet. And if the venom hits you, it'll eat you right down to your bones. And he says at the end of the chapter, I really did listen to him. I really did. So, you know, things are going downhill from there.
real quick, we do have one more caller on line one. Jim, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Howdy.
What do you have for us this morning?
Oh, I just read a biography this year, a new historical biography on a general, Jacob L. Devers. It's called A General's Life by James Scott Wheeler. And it's a nice, readable biography of a World War II general that most folks haven't heard of, who was a contemporary of Eisenhower and Patton, and It's a real interesting, quick read. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Want to give a little preview? We'll be back with the coffee table next week. Terry Roble will be with us with her yearly holiday cooking and food show. So don't forget to tune in for that next Wednesday morning at 9. Coming up in just a moment, Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Dana, once again, thank you very much for coming in doing this show. It's my favorite coffee table of the year, and it's
mine too.
It's a great way to get coffee table kicked back off here.
It's one of my favorite things to do every year, Terry. Thanks for having me.
And once again, you can find out about Story Knife at storyknife.org and your personal website, stabenow.com.
Later this morning, we'll have a list of all the books we talked about on the show. I'll send Terry the link, and he'll put it up on
We'll get it up on KBBI.org, along with the audio from today's show. This is the coffee table here on KBBI AM 890 Homer. It is 3 minutes before 10 o'clock. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is up next. Have a great day.